Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 25th, 2011, episode 126, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Howdy, Jamie.
Well, happy day after your birthday, Glenn. How are you?
I am good, thank you. I had the best birthday ever. Ever.
Okay. So you were teasing it on Facebook. I must know, what did your lovely wife do for you, and do you have a new puppy?
Okay. I can tell you this much. We're going to talk about it on tomorrow's show because it was so cool, I just don't have time to talk about it today. So,
oh boy.
She had co-conspirators in this. She had to pull some strings for this adventure, and she is... We're having some of the co-conspirators on the show with us tomorrow.
Oh,
cool. So we're going to wait for tomorrow to talk about what I actually ended up doing on my birthday. I will say, however, there's no barking puppy in the background.
Aww. Well, I guess it was still good because you said it was the best birthday ever.
Oh, it was fun. And it'll give me time to get the pictures and videos together today so that I can share them with everybody tomorrow, too. So let's go, and I'll just add one more thing. I crossed something off my bucket list. This was a
nice
bucket list. So
that sounds like a big birthday, Jennifer. You must have done well. Congratulations.
Thank you, co-conspirators. Could not have done it without you.
Well, and thank you to the co-conspirators too, because they took time out of their Easter to help out with that. I wanted to also say, well, let's get to Jennifer, and then I got to tell you what you're looking forward to when you come in for Rolex this week.
What are we? Is that my cue?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't tell with you, Glenn. On today's show, we've got lots of great pre-Rolex coverage from three fantabulous guests this morning. Up first, we have Lindsay White, fearless leader of Riders for Helmets, the little campaign that can and does change people's lives. And next up, Hamish Cargill. Did I get the name right, Glenn?
Yep.
Okay. We'll be here with an insider's look at the last few days of lead-up to the Rolex three-day event, and I suspect there's going to be some interesting conversation on traveling here from the opposite side of the earth. And to round out the show, we've got one of Horses in the Morning's favorite repeat guests, Jessica Phoenix, who's also going to give us an update on what she's been up to this spring leading up to Rolex and how it's going to go for Team Phoenix.
Cool. Well, that's what's coming up. It's a pre-Rolex show today. And we are going to talk more about Rolex right after this. The first daily weenie today is to all the people who wish me a happy birthday. You know, one of the things Facebook is great for is pumping up your ego on your birthday. You know that, Jamie?
Isn't that the coolest? You're like, wow! You wake up and you have 10 million birthday wishes. It's so fun.
People I haven't talked to in 30 years. Well, thank you to everybody, all the listeners, too, who piped in for my birthday. I really do appreciate that. Thank you to all of you. And thank you to my lovely wife for making it so cool. And also my in-laws are here. My mother-in-law and stepfather-in-law, I guess how you'd say that, are here, and they spent a weekend, so that was fun, too. I have one more Daily Winnie before yours. Well, second Daily Winnie goes out to somebody else who has a birthday today, the day after mine, and that's Chris Duggan of Equestrian Collections. Happy birthday, Chris. They're a sponsor of ours since the beginning of the Horse Radio Network, and we're going to get to see her this weekend, too. So that'll be fun. And this is for you, Jamie.
Well, I would like to send a special Daily Winnie out to my very, very close friend, Zenyatta, and her handler, Charles. Did this make like 150 Daily Winnies to Charles?
I think so. I think Charles definitely has the record.
I might have been trying to keep up our, maintain our friendship online because I am coming to Kentucky and there is a particular filly that lives in Kentucky that I might be stalking the entire time I'm in Lexington. So, you know, why not go straight to this horse and email her handler? And he did write me back and potentially I might meet Charles in person. Whether I meet the horse or not, that is yet to be seen. I'm not going to make any assumptions. However, this is the problem with this stupid show that we do, our stupid Daily Winnies. And I got that email from Charles, very short, just basically saying how rainy it was in Kentucky. But that's okay. I'll keep going. I'm going to keep trying. but the apparently the show on Friday, the really bad ads, a lot of times, you know, we do a lot of research on Craigslist to find really bad ads. And I dreamed last night that there was a really bad ad about Zenyatta on Craigslist. How stupid is that? So the ad... I combined my weekend, my really bad ads on Friday, and my email from Charles. And what had happened was... that Zenyatta was looking for a second career and that they were trying to find a trainer to teach Zenyatta how to be ridden like a show horse as opposed to be a retired broodmare. But the ad was like, it was like the worst poorly written, really bad ad ever. All lowercase, misspelling. This horse who might have won several stakes races is looking for a new job. She's not wanting to be a broodmare. But it was really poor and misspelled. And it was like, for inquiries, serious inquiries only, contact J and A Moss. And so they didn't even like use their real name at the bottom. Gary Ann Moss, Zenyatta's owner. So, yeah, I need medication. And if you have that, please.
You need a day off or something.
I guess. Good Lord.
All right, you're dreaming about parts of our show now. That's bad.
Really bad ads to do with Zenyatta. So I need some separation. I may need a vacation after a Rolex. I'm just telling you.
God, that's funny. That's
I did
funny.
Reply.
Well, you're going to need something else for Rolex, and that's your wellies, because let me tell you what, we have had the worst 4 days of storms that I can remember anywhere we've ever lived. It has been every 2 hours, thunderstorm after thunderstorm after thunderstorm, tornado warning after tornado warning. We actually got done with dinner on Friday night with the in-laws and from the other side of town over the Hamburg area where all the restaurants are on the far side of Lexington where we live. And we were driving through this horrendous lightning storm. And we get home and the tornado warnings are all over the place on our weather radios and everything. And on TV, they're saying, get into basements. And sure enough, there was a small tornado right a block away from where we had eaten dinner. And we talked to somebody from one of the restaurants over there, one of the waiters, and he said they actually, during that storm, got all the patrons into the center of the restaurant, had everybody stop and come into the center of the restaurant and got their tornado plans in place, I guess. So it's been, and we went by some, on the way out to my birthday surprise yesterday, north of town, we saw a barn with its roof ripped off, and there's been a lot of damage. We've had 10 inches of rain here in Lexington in the last 3 or 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And 15 inches of rain in some parts of Kentucky that are just flooded under. The bad news, to add to that bad news, the storms are keeping on coming and is apparently supposed to keep up like this through Thursday. Now, we went out to the park, horse park, on Saturday, and you know the sunken road ditch that they do in the cross-country course at Rolex? It's basically a dry ditch they jump over.
It's well, actually, here, just so everybody knows, the horses jump a jump, then they jump down into this ditch. It's like it's a sunken road. It's a road that's below, so they have to jump down into it, bounce up out of it, and then over another jump. So it's a very treacherous combination without water. So what does it look like now?
Well, they're going to be needing their what are those little things that boys and girls wear, floaties? They're going to be needing their floaties for the sunken road because it's about 5 feet of water.
And
then we went over to
jump
the...
jump down into it and swim out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a swimming obstacle now. Then we went over to the head of the lake, and my God, I've never seen so much water in the head of the lake. It's up to the top of the banks. And normally, if you remember, the head of the lake, water jumps, I think it's an official, Jennifer can help us on this, but I think it's like 18 inches of water they're supposed to have. But I think that 18 inches is the max, if I remember.
Yeah, I know they have a maximum water depth now, which was something many years ago they hadn't figured out, but for safety reasons they limit how deep it can get. It's probably close to 3 feet at the head of the lake right now inside the jump. And I don't know how they're going to manage that because it's not a closed system. It's just, you know, they just made a pond where a stream runs through. So I imagine the course designers are really scratching their heads right now trying to keep the course up to snuff and safe at the same time because, you know, it's Kentucky. If it stops raining, the footing could be grand within 48 hours again. So they're going to have a stressful week, more so than usual.
Busy, yes.
Now, Hamish is going to be on with us from Australia. He's already at the horse park. He's been staying there for the last week, and he will be able to give us an update. You know, I'm sure he's been hearing things and been around the horse park, but it's a soggy mess everywhere. Even where there's thick turf, you sink now. It's just been horrendous. Now, thank God Rolex wasn't this last weekend, because if you remember right, when there's tornado warnings, they have to evacuate the park. Remember what happened last year? We had to evacuate the park right after cross country was done. They issued a tornado warning, and they told everybody, vendors, everybody, just get out of the park.
Run for your lives!
Exactly. So, yeah, and the park area has definitely been under tornado warnings like twice in the last couple of days. But so far, the park has survived. So that's what you have to look forward to coming into Kentucky.
I will never forget, you never know what to expect weather-wise on Rolex weekend, because April is just so crazy in Lexington. You can be really cold one year. The next year you go back, and I'm speaking with like 15 years of experience, 20 years going to Rolex. Every year you never know what to expect. You always have to pack for whatever, but I will never forget the one year that it rained so hard on cross-country day. I think the year before I got sunburned, so I didn't bring anything. We were taking garbage bags and poking holes like through the top of the head and putting it over our body. There was so much rain, but then, of course, you didn't have muck boots on, so the water soaked up through the bottom of your blue jeans and like all the way up your leg. And I remember like, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to leave. We have to watch. I think maybe 7 horses went out on course that day. I don't know. It was more than that, but it was crazy, the amount of rain. And then, of course, the next year, it's dry, hard footing. Everybody's complaining, oh, there's not enough water. I'll take it better than last year's rain. So who knows what we will experience this year. It sounds like a little bit of the previous, unfortunately.
Well, I am predicting the Dewberry Boot guys do very well this weekend. I am.
Oh, no doubt.
I'm just looking at the long-term weather. Thursday, rain, high of 58, so bring a jacket. Friday, it looks like partly cloudy, high of 68, so it's going to end up warming up a little bit. So let's hope that this gets a little better.
I think our first guest is ready, Glenn.
All right, good. Well, we have Lindsay on the line with us today, our friend Lindsay. Lindsay, of course, is the organizer and head and chief honcho of the Riders for Helmets campaign and a good friend of ours. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, we appreciate you being on. And you know what? We talked about this last week, but we wanted to promote it again because it's so darn cool. Now, we have the best listeners in the world, and most of them have probably gone signed up already. But for the few new ones who haven't, we want to talk about the helmet giveaway.
Yeah, we're just really excited at the support that the Riders for Helmets campaign has gained, you know, worldwide from equestrians in the past year. And we wanted to really give something back to acknowledge that support to everybody that's been following the campaign. And we had some amazingly generous sponsors and helmet manufacturers that have come up with what I believe is the largest ever helmet giveaway that we're going to be doing at Rolex this week, but you don't have to actually be at Rolex. You can sign up for it online at ridersforhelmets.com as well. And we're also giving an iPad 2 away, which is really cool, which I would love to win, but I think I'm kind of not allowed to sign up for that.
I don't know. You made the rules. Yes.
Yeah, I think the rules pretty much say I'm not allowed to sign up for that.
Can we sign up for that? Jamie and I'd love an iPad.
You can sign up for that, but if you guys got picked out, it might look a bit suspicious, like you'd slip me a 20 or something.
I'll give you 40.
Well, there you go.
We're super
excited about it. We really are. I mean, we've got 36 helmets in the giveaway that are up for grabs. They have a total value of about $6,500, which is just tremendous. We have the iPad 2, which is worth about $800. And then we also have some other items like some Riders for Helmets logo wear and some exclusive jewelry and baseball caps and things like that too. So I just think it's a huge giveaway and I think everybody should sign up for it.
Now, you said to us the other day that the entries were going pretty well. Are they still going well?
Yeah, actually, several websites are kicking out the press release this morning. It's already up on the U.S. Eventing Association website, and we've seen a jump in entries because of that, and I believe Eventing Nation and some of the other websites are going to be getting it up today as well.
Well, good for you. This is 36 helmets worth over $6,500. You can sign up at home. Go to ridersforhelmets.com, and you'll see the sign up there. But they can also sign up. You're going to be in the old indoor arena near where we're set up, as I understand it, right?
We'll be in the old indoor arena at Rolex, and you can sign up for the giveaway there, and we'll have some Riders for Helmets educational literature that we'll be giving out. And another cool thing as well is that we're going to have the different helmet manufacturers stop by the booth, and they will at different times be doing helmet fitting demonstrations. So you can see pretty much all the cool helmets that are available at this time on the market, which is a really nice opportunity to look at all the different ones. And the times for that will be posted on the Riders for Helmets website homepage tomorrow. There'll be a box in the top corner and it will say the helmet manufacturer's name and what day and time they will be at the booth. So if anyone's interested, they can check that out and come by and look at all the cool helmets.
And are you going to have Riders for Helmets wear there too? Shirts and hats?
We are really excited. We've got some cool t-shirts. We just launched a kind of exclusive Riders for Helmets line with Laura of Horseshoes by Design, of tote bags and a different new t-shirt line. And the feedback on the Riders for Helmets Facebook page has been tremendous on that. I think we're probably going to sell out of those very quickly.
Well, do you still have, can we still get Jamie a strap one on shirt?
I think we can probably do that, but I would like to disclose that we're talking about helmets.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, too. I meant that, too. But I think if she goes home wearing a strap one on shirt, I think Chad will be happy to send her back to Rolex again next year.
We can definitely do that.
No
poor
comment.
Jamie.
No comment. My poor husband, he always gets thrown into the mix of all of this. So, you know, I got to say that this helmet giveaway is inspiring because not only are you promoting, you know, obviously safety, but you're promoting all these different helmet brands. And there's not one type of helmet that is listed. What are some of the types of helmets that people can win from this giveaway?
It's everything pretty much. SamShield, GPA, Charles Owen, Troxel, Ovation, Devonair, Tipperary, IRH, KEP Italia, and I'm really hoping I haven't forgotten one of them because they're going to kill me. I think that's pretty much them all. But, you know, I mean, literally, it's across the board. It's pretty much every helmet you can think of is available to win, so.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I know that I definitely have had a bunch of students go on and enter in this because I'm like, hey, guys, you know, this is a great opportunity to own a very nice helmet. And so I do appreciate and thank you for putting together this giveaway, and we will definitely see you at Rolex. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, we're excited to see you guys as well. And I did just want to say that all of the proceeds of the logo wear that we'll be selling in the booth this week, the Riders for Helmets logo wear, are going to fund the next Helmet Safety Symposium that we'll be holding in Lexington in July this year. We did one back in January in Florida, which Glenn attended and was very successful. And we brought together Olympic riders, all of the different organizations, you know, USIF, down through, you know, every different organization you can think of, and had some really great equestrians at that meeting as well. And we want to make it even bigger and better the next one in July. And literally selling the logo wear is going to enable us to be able to host that next symposium.
All right. Well, that's terrific. Thank you, Lindsay. And I was looking through the list here. I don't know if you got Pegasus or not, so I'll throw that in just to make sure
I'm
covered that.
I'm glad you said Pegasus. I believe I forgot them.
there's a George Morris helmet.
Yeah, the new George Morris helmets. They are very cool. And we also have the limited edition, the purple Charles Owen 100-year centennial helmet and body protector as well, which is very cool.
You need the purple helmet, Jamie. That'd be cool. You'd look good in that.
With all my geldings.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lindsay.
Go.
We appreciate it. That's ridersforhelmets.com. It doesn't cost anything. There's no obligation to do anything. You just go over there, sign up, and you can get picked to win. When will the giveaway be? When will you pull the names?
We will actually, I believe we've said we will pull the names next Monday, and then we will notify winners, I believe, by the Saturday, the week after Rolex.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, Jay or Lindsay. We appreciate it.
Thanks
so
much.
See you later in the week.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
So you have news for us?
I do. Badminton has been completed. It is final. The results are in. They started
show jumping this morning, right? And for Rebecca, we're not talking about the game with the sticks and the birdies. We're talking about the largest event of its kind in the world over in England for a three-day event.
You know, Rebecca, I thought we'd been pretty clear on that. I did. You could have just asked me again. Rebecca is a student of mine, and she is an avid listener as well. So, Rebecca, we're going to have to talk about this. You thought it was the game. Yeah, we're sitting on the Horse Radio Network. We're talking about badminton and the birdie that he hit served. No, the real badminton, the horse trial, the Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials of 2011 are finalized. And first place goes to Andrew Nicholson of New Zealand for the Avebury.
Really?
Yeah, 51.2 penalties. Close behind him was William Fox Pitt with Cool Mountain. They had 53.3. The highest placed American rider, And apparently his cross-country course, you know, as usual, was not the most pretty ride. However, he did make it through the, I believe, the only American who made it clean. I think he had some time penalties, but jump penalty-wise, he did come in, let's see, what place is placed ninth, Buck Davidson, Bruce Davidson Jr., on Ballynoe Castle RM. So Buck did come in ninth place. As far as the American riders go, I'm looking over the highlights. Mark Todd was leading for some time on a couple different horses. He finished 23rd on Major Milestone. And let's see, where else did he play?
Now, he was in the lead after cross country yesterday, so he must have took some penalties today in stadium.
I think he took, let's see, show jumping. I don't think he took that many, but I think it was very close. All the scores are very close. As far as American or Canadian riders, Selena O'Hanlon finished 43rd on Colombo. Just to finish badminton is amazing. So way to go, Selena. As far as Karen O'Connor and Mandiva, I guess yesterday they had a refusal at one fence, and then she went to go do the next set of combinations, and she came off on one of the jumps after Mandiva's second stop. So they took Mandiva back to the barn, and he actually fractured a rib. He's going to be fine, and of course, on horses, those heal pretty well. Jennifer Wooten and the Good Witch, they did retire on cross country. And let's see, as far as any Canadian riders, Stephanie Rhodes Bosch and Port Authority did get eliminated, along with Mandiva and Karen O'Connor. So that's your North American riders. But I do believe we have somebody on the phone who probably can give us a little bit more information on what is going on behind the scenes in badminton, and also coming up for Rolex. So we will tell a little bit about that and our next guest, Hamish, in just a minute, but I want to tell you about today's sponsor. Thanks to Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals for sponsoring today's show. They create only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems.
And they are, of course, going to be over at Rolex this week. We'll see them over there all set up. And if you have any questions on health or issues involving your horse, you can find them at Rolex this week. They'll be probably set up right near where we'll be in the old indoor arena where they have the trade fair.
Yeah, and definitely go check out Biotic 8. It was awesome for my horse. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science, and you can look for all their products at retailers nationwide, of course at Rolex, or you can visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
All right, I'd like to introduce our next guest. He became a friend of ours at the World Equestrian Games. He is Hamish and Dave became known for their wild and crazy videos and all the drinking they did all throughout Lexington and surrounding areas during the World Equestrian Games. And that's appropriate for an Aussie because that's what they do well. And apparently, one of the things that a lot of people didn't realize when they were watching those wacky videos is that he's also an accomplished event rider. And he's here and flew over with his horse, Sandhills Tiger, to event at Rolex this coming weekend. He's staying at the park right now. Got to have dinner with him last weekend. It was a lot of fun, and he's on the show with us now. Good morning, Hamish.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey.
So good to have you on the show with us. We really appreciate you taking out time over there in the lake that they call the Kentucky Horse Park.
It's amazing, yeah.
Let's start with, you're staying over there right now. We were talking about the weather. I was just telling Jamie all about it. She's coming in later in the week from Phoenix. We drove through there on Saturday. The place where there's water, many places there shouldn't be water. What's the word over there at the park?
Oh, well, there is water everywhere. I mean, it just keeps raining. Every sort of morning and night, you can guarantee that there's going to be a good hour of sort of solid showers. Look, I don't know what the word behind the scenes is, but, you know, I think they're doing a pretty good job. They seem to scurry out with the lawnmowers, and every time that there's a bit of a break in the rain, it's all action here.
Now, I noticed that, like, the sunken road is now a sunken lake, and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I haven't been out there, but there are rivers and creeks just everywhere, and I don't know the place that well, but I'm thinking that a lot of the places there are sort of rivers, there's not meant to be rivers.
Wait a second. You just said you haven't been out there yet, and you've been in Lexington for, I guess, almost a week now, and you haven't walked your cross-country course yet?
I think I got fairly warned off the first day that I got here. There's, you know, there was enough sort of drop, you know, you'll be looking at the cross-country course from a distance for me to sort of feel like I should stay away, stay on the roads that I was meant to be on. So now I'm looking at everything from a distance. I can assure you I've got no greater insight into what the jumps are than anyone else.
No, they really do. They really do frown upon that.
I know. Yeah, I
don't want to get offside.
I just imagined you out there in camouflage, you know, like sneaking around, tiger crawling through
the
grass.
Dark. With my torch, I'm not like that. No, I don't want to get on the wrong side of people. I'm new to the country. It wouldn't be a good way to say hello.
You didn't think that when you were at WAG.
No, well, that was different. I got my offside of there, Dave, and see, he's the troublemaker. I just follow. He's got a nose for trouble, and I just get led along. You see, that's how I see it.
You lie.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about you. You came over here. I mentioned after we had dinner that night on the air that what your flight was like getting here, you know, the many stops that you made to get here. And I never gave a price. Do you mind giving the price of what it cost to get one horse from Australia to Lexington?
One horse, just the one way. Look, it's not cheap. $21,500 Australian dollars.
Oh, my God. That's $40,000 round trip.
Pretty much, yeah. Rounded off.
Wow.
What is that in American dollars then?
Oh, we're actually going quite well at the moment. The Australian dollars really kicked along. So it's actually, it's probably a little bit more in American dollars at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Our country. It's a mess.
it's pretty amazing. We've come up about 20% since I was over here in October last year for the World Equestrian Games. So we are thinking everything is extremely cheap here at the moment.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so your horse got here okay after his very long flight and his stop over in Los Angeles for quarantine, and it has Sandhills Tiger. What's his barn name, by the way?
Just Tiger. Yeah, Tiger.
Just
after
Tiger.
The golfer.
Okay, so has Tiger settled in quite well?
He loves it here. He's having a great time. He loves your grass. He's happy at the park. He's been really good, and you know he's got a nice stall there in Barn 9, and I think he's happy as Larry, really.
Cool.
Now,
the best thing is he's going well. Yeah, he's going really well. So can't be happier.
Oh, are you the only one at the horse park right now, or are there other riders that have arrived as early as you did?
No, the English horses arrived on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, and of course most of the riders for them of those horses are still riding at Badminton. So the grooms are here, and those horses have gone straight into the quarantine area. So we haven't really made any friends yet, but they seem to be very busy, those English grooms. They're always there around the horses, so I don't know if there's any, you know, professional riders that are at Badminton worrying about their horses, but I can assure them that their grooms are doing an excellent job. They're not out partying or drinking or anything.
Not with you, anyway.
No, for sure.
That's funny. Hey, and you know what? You guys are well represented, apparently. We just got the results in for Badminton, and it looks like a Kiwi won, huh?
Oh, he'd won it. Is it finished, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting. Good on him. Isn't that a great comeback? That's a very good story.
Yeah, that well, Andrew Nicholson, right? Yeah.
Oh, who won it? Andrew Nicholson won it,
no,
not Mark Todd.
Now Caroline Powell's in second. I spoke too soon. Caroline Powell is in second, and then Andrew's in third, and now Nicholas Lineback from Sweden is in first place. Holy cow.
All right, so that wasn't final results. That was just an update.
That's not final.
Okay,
no.
Gotcha. Okay.
It should be finishing any minute, though. I mean, that's the thing, is like they started around with the top 20, I think, at around 6 o'clock of my time, so 9 o'clock your time, Glenn, and who knows what time that is over there. I guess it's still getting updated. Darn, I thought I had the most recent ones.
Ooh, you thought you had the scoop there.
Yeah, two Kiwis are in second and third place, and I guess Mark probably has another horse going that he hasn't ridden yet.
That's what I thought. I thought it would be surprising if Mark, because Mark obviously was leading after yesterday. You must have been feeling some pride there.
Oh, look, I think it's great. I've done a clinic with Mark Ford in Australia a few years back, and no, I think it's fantastic. If it's not an Australian winning, then, you know, we stick with the Kiwis. Yeah, it's great to see him doing so well.
Now, you, your girlfriend is in. She came in, and she's also an eventer, right?
She's a three-star eventer as well. So she's actually, she's got a multitude of roles this week. She's groom, coach, and girlfriend. So, she's sort of filling all the roles, and she's doing an excellent job too.
How does that coach thing kind of work out?
How does
the coach thing kind of work out?
Look, really well, surprisingly well. I maintain that it's better if she coaches me. It seems to work better than the other way around. But, I must say, you just when anyone's teaching you, you've just got to say, right, I'm here to learn, and they're on the ground, so they have a different view. So I keep my mouth closed and do everything. And she put a lot of effort in, you know, with all the lessons and the coaching that I was having before I came. She would come and sit and watch and really be involved with the coaches that I was having lessons from and picking up all the things. So we had a really clear plan coming over here of what it was that we needed to work on with the various things. And it's working out really well. We're just keeping it really simple, really straightforward, and it seems to be really working out for both of us so far. Fingers crossed with the event coming up.
So, you know, we've discussed here whether you can teach A, your children, or B, your significant other. And can you teach them how to ride? And I guess nobody can answer that question better than you if she's, you know, kind of your coach right now. So if she tells you to do something, like say she's watching you school and she tells you to do something, do you do it or do you talk back? I mean,
No talking back. I think that's the first thing you've got to, if you're going to teach, be taught by your significant other, you've got to just accept that can't talk back. It's not a discussion. And I think that's the first rule of it. And then you seem to be okay, because that's where things generally fall in a heap. And that's why children can never be taught by their parents, because they always talk back.
Exactly. Hamish, I was doing a little bit of research on you, so I Googled your name right before you came on just to kind of see what was up and down. And, there's a lot of women that are asking here, talking about whether you're single or not. So I guess, ladies, we have answered that question. Hamish is not single.
People
who have been blogging about you, tell us a little bit more about your girlfriend. How long have you guys been dating?
We've been 4 years now, 4.5 years almost.
What's the hold up? 4 years? You take your years?
Oh, no, don't do that. No. Let's not go down that line.
4 years? Put her on the phone.
Neither of us are in a hurry. I don't know. I think both of us just go, well, we had far from that. There's plenty of things to achieve before that sort of something we need to be worrying about or complicating with life. So no, everything's really good, and we're living together and riding together, and it's all really good at the moment. But we certainly don't need any more complications.
What I think is the amazing part is she lets him hang out with Dave. That would be the scariest part of all of this, I think.
Well, the funniest thing is that Annabelle used to live with Dave and his girlfriend Talara. She used to live in the house with them. So that was what was always funny, is that the funny thing was that I let her hang out with Dave.
Dave.
That's a bad idea.
We should tell, for our listeners who don't know, Dave was your co-conspirator in all the videos that were done at the World Equestrian Games, and they were so much fun, and they became viral. And it was probably the most interesting coverage of the World Equestrian Games above our, with the exception of our show, of course. But you guys, it was a lot of fun. Dave is actually a show jumper, right?
He is, yeah. And look, Dave just literally last weekend just won a big class in one of Australia's biggest shows in the show jumping. So he's going really well too.
Well, good. Well, the two goofballs that came to the United States just to have a little fun and drink some beer actually are doing pretty well.
I know, it's surprising, isn't it? It was always the plan was to come to the World Equestrian Games and have a lot of fun and just show a different side of it, really, because we couldn't we weren't going to match people with the coverage of the horses as such. So we thought we'd sort of see a different side of, you know, World Equestrian Games, which is with so much going on when you have these big sporting events.
So I got to ask you then, did you think you would be coming on your horse to compete at Rolex when you were here for the World Equestrian Games? So was that a goal back then?
It was probably not at that stage. It was in the back of my mind that, you know, I came here and I saw it and I really liked the place. I liked the feel of the park and the cross country. I thought just the layout really, I thought, would suit me. And but at that stage, Sandhills Tigers was making a comeback from an injury. He sustained an injury at the end of 2009, and he had, sorry, end of 2008, and he had all of 2009 off. And then through the start of 2010, I was just getting him sort of going again, and we were doing just a lot of flat work, and I hadn't really jumped him. So I'd only done, by the time I came to the World Equestrian Games last year, he'd only done one event back, in a one-star event. So by then it was sort of, we were just sort of feeling our way with him a bit and seeing how his recovery went. And then when I got home, there's an intense sort of period of competition there. And I did a three-star three-day event in December of last year. And it was the first time since in his comeback that I'd really pressed him and sort of went for time. And he was super. And he ran third at that event. And I thought, this horse is back at his best. And so from then on, it was sort of in the back of my mind. And then, you know, I sort of started him off early in the new year, and with the goal of coming here. And a lot of things had to fall into place. We needed first to get a flight to the US, which there wasn't one scheduled for this time of year. So that was important. And then, look, everything just fell into place over the start of the year. And you know, here I am.
That's an amazing story. Like December, like, yeah, sure, let's see if we can get to Rolex. And Sandhills Tiger is your horse. And first of all, how old is he? What breed is he? Tell us a little bit about him and how you got him.
He's 14 years old, and he's an Australian thoroughbred by a sire called Danziro, which is a Danehill son, which is very good breeding. And look, interesting story with this horse. He was bred by Wayne Roycroft, who you know as the former coach of the Australian eventing team. And then he was purchased by Rod Brown, who was the coach of the Australian show jumping team here at the World Equestrian Games, who then sold him on to Prue Barrett, who is now the Australian coach, who's the current coach of the Australian eventing team. So he's certainly been picked up by some good people along the way. And then my mum actually saw him as a five-year-old. He was doing one of his first events. She spotted him at an event way back in 2003, 2002, and originally from my sister. And so we ended up buying the horse, but we weren't allowed to have him for 6 months because Prue wanted to keep training him and getting him to a level where she thought he was ready, because we were just young riders at the time, just coming out of juniors, really. So the horse stayed with Prue Barrett till the end of that year, and then my sister had him for sort of 18 months to 2 years. And then she made the big mistake of heading overseas for sort of 8 months to work, and so I took the ride on
her horse.
And that's the end of the story. Yeah, he never went back. Which I think we've only sort of 6 or 7 years on. I think we've just recovered from that in the family. The fact that I stole an awesome horse.
Think about this. Your girlfriend is your coach, your mother is your scout, and you stole your horse from your sister. Your life is pretty much ruled by women.
I know. Poor Dad, he feels left out because he doesn't have like a big role in this, except that he paid all the bills all the way through, really.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. We're looking forward to seeing you. We're going to be in doing our shows starting on Thursday morning, but we'll see you at the trot on Wednesday. And we're looking forward to catching up with you and visiting with you in person and actually meeting your girlfriend. And the best of luck this weekend. Do you have little flotation devices in your saddle pad, just in case?
No. I think I might need to get them put in. Look, can we all just cross our fingers that this weather stops. I think it just needs to find up a few sunny days on Thursday and Friday, and I think it will be perfect out there on Saturday, as long as it stops raining sometime this week.
All right. Well, good, Hamish. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Fantastic. Great speaking to you both.
Okay. See you over the weekend. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. I guess he could probably inflate his .2 airbag and then ride
That's
around
right.
on cross country.
That's right.
That's a brilliant
inflate
idea.
It first. What do you do for the horse, though? Eco Gold really needs to come out with a line of inflatable saddle pads. That'd be good. You know, they just inflate in the parts
idea.
Around the saddle.
Or leg wraps that float. I am so mad at badminton, by the way, because the website, Jennifer was just looking on it too, and it says 2011 final results. And that's what I was reading from, and I keep updating it, and it becomes more and more final. I think we're getting close to the end right now, because it looks like some of the top riders are currently going. We've had about 17 clear show jumping rounds, by the way. So right now, Piggy French is in first place, Mary King in second, Sam Griffiths from Australia in third, Nicholas Lineback from Sweden is in fourth, and Caroline Powell from New Zealand is in fifth. But I do believe we definitely still have Mark Todd to ride. And Mark Todd, by the way, for badminton, is riding the youngest horse on course today.
The oldest guy riding the youngest horse.
You know, and he talks about the horse, and he says, this is his quote from after cross country. He's relatively inexperienced 10-year-old, and I did feel like he was pretty green out there, but he is a good horse. You don't ride a green horse in badminton unless you're Mark Todd.
Hey, right, exactly.
That's amazing. He's amazing. Mark Todd. Oh. Okay, go ahead.
He's 55, by the way. In case you were wondering, he's 55 years old. I can't imagine being out there at 55 years old doing that kind of exercise. It's just amazing. Well, good job there. We hope that by the end of this show, we will actually have a final results, and we apologize for the earlier flub up of Jamie.
Yeah. I'm not apologizing. I'm not sorry. It says final. Shut up.
All right, we have a new sponsor here for Rolex, and we appreciate them coming on board. We're going to hear from them, and then we're going to go to our daily song. I thought would be appropriate to play a little When It Rains, It Pours. I thought that would be appropriate for what we're dealing with right now. And then we're going to be back with Jessica Phoenix, one of our favorite event riders out of Canada. She's got two horses entered. I'm really curious to find out whether she's going to be riding both or she just entered both or what the story is. So we're looking forward to talking to Jessica here in a few minutes.
Equifit possesses a genuine commitment to horses and riders, which drives them to seek new and better ways to help them perform, recover, be comfortable, and succeed at all levels. Equifit continues to raise expectations by pairing innovative designs with highly advanced materials. The Equifit R&D team is always on the lookout for ways to deliver the most competitive and sound solutions. From their superior horse boots to pressure-free half pads to the remarkable line of AgSilver products, Equifit has raised the bar for horse products that produce results. And joining me now, who knows so much about the products, is the head groom for Philip Dutton, Emma Ford. Emma, you're very familiar, particularly with the Hoof Saver. I think you're going to tell us what useful product that is.
Yes, Chris. I've been with Equifit since August, and I was fortunate enough to use them through the WAG. And I sort of call them the Dr. Scholl's for horses because it provides great comfort for them to stand on. It's cushioning for their feet is the best way to describe them.
And it is custom fit, isn't it?
Yes, basically they come in one size and you have the horse stand on the pad to make an impression on the pad. And then you can cut out for that particular foot. So it doesn't matter if the horse is wearing a heart bar, an egg bar, what shape of shoe it's wearing, you can cut it out. And then I personally generally put some sort of packing underneath, whether that be Epsom salts and iodine or betadine solution, or I might use the magic cushion packing. And then I put this on top and put some vet wrap over it to keep it in place overnight. And I mainly use it 3 days. I just think when you're running, you do all you can for these horses to keep them comfortable, and especially after cross country, for them to stand on something to help cushion their feet overnight after they've had all the concussion of the running and jumping through the day.
So it is a way to provide them with relief for being sore-footed or perhaps a stone bruise and things like that?
Yes, definitely. Anything that, any issues, if you lose a shoe on cross country, then obviously you want to make them even more comfortable overnight to prevent any extra bruising.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Emma. You can find out, of course, more about Equifit products at equifit.net.
Marianne Kennedy, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals. I'm Jamie Jennings, along with me, of course, Glenn the Geek and Jennifer, who has been busy today. We've had a lot of guests on the show today, and that continues. It's Rolex Preview Week, people. Yay, I'm going to Kentucky. I'm going to Kentucky. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just laughing at you. Coming to Kentucky with your waders on.
Like, hello? Am I on? Is this thing on? Hello?
After last week, we never know whether we're on the air or not, but apparently our listeners let us know.
Yeah, I know. We lost technology, and Glenn thought we were off the air because Jennifer left, but we were still here, and I do appreciate everybody. But with the rain you guys are having, I am nervous that you're going to go off the air. I mean, tornadoes and rain and wind, and that sucks for Rolex week, you know, the week leading
up. Yeah,
but
you know what? He's right. If we get a couple, you know, if it stops by Thursday and then stays stopped, it'll be fine. It'll actually be perfect by Cross Country Day on Saturday. So that'll be good if that happens. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Hey, there were a couple other things that we wanted to talk about. And one of the things was a little bit sad is, speaking of eventing, is that Blythe Tate, who we've had on our shows a number of times, who's the rider from Down Under again out of New Zealand, his gold medal ride from Atlanta, Ready Teddy, actually mm-hmm. died of complications from colic, I believe. So
Ready Teddy was a phenomenal horse. He was in the Olympics. I mean, the name just goes along with him, Ready Teddy. So you know, we do wear sad for him, and just you know, I mean, he was only, what was he, 25 years old?
23 years old. Yep.
23 years old, so sad news about Ready Teddy, but Blythe, I'm sure, you know, because Blythe made a comeback this year, too, for eventing, so he's probably got his hands full, and just sad that, you know, the horse that won the Olympic gold and world championships is going to be missed, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Well, I think we have our next guest on here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to her. I watched her online, and I'm not stalking you, Jessica. I just happened to watch your training sessions with David, and okay, you're my new like girl crush. You rode so perfectly and phenomenally through these crazy things that he was making you guys do, and that or you're my new best friend. I haven't decided. Jessica, so I hear you're driving through my hometown right now of Atlanta, Georgia. Where are you going?
We are en route to Rolex.
Yay! That's so exciting.
Yay. Yes.
So is it raining in Georgia as well?
It is not. It's a beautiful, sunny day.
Oh, enjoy that while it lasts, because apparently it's about 10 inches deep in Lexington.
Oh, you know what? We'll take it. We need it for the ground, I think.
Yeah, probably. As long as it stops, then you won't have to swim on cross country. So you are taking two horses up to Rolex, Exponential and Exploring, and I did watch you in the training sessions with David ride both those horses, and just phenomenal animals, phenomenal horses. But I got it. Their names are so familiar, or so similar, Exponential and Exploring. What are their barn names?
Digby and Tucker.
What was the first one again?
Digby.
Digby is Exponential then, and Tucker is Exploring?
Other way around.
Oh, that makes sense. That sounds a lot like their real names.
Right. Easy to remember, right?
Yeah, I'll write that one down. So you guys have been doing some training sessions with David. Where are you coming from on your way to Rolex?
We're coming from Ocala.
How long did you spend there?
We've been down there since January.
Oh, that doesn't suck at all.
No. <It's been nice.
laughs> And obviously you guys are a Canadian team, but is that where you're based out of? So you made the trip from Canada all the way down to Ocala?
Yes.
All right. Well, do you have a baby in the car?
I do. I thought he was maybe going to go to sleep. He just finished his bottle, but he's waking up.
See, and we haven't had a mommy report lately. Now we're getting a live mommy report here, Jessica.
You're getting a live mommy report. Jacob has a lot he wants to tell you, Glenn.
Oh, good, good. Well, we want to hear it. I want to hear you are getting all grown up on us, Jessica. We started following you 3 years ago, and yep. you were like this little tiny eventer girl out of Canada, and now you're bringing two horses to Rolex?
That's right. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, and you are planning on riding both. You just didn't enter them. You are riding both, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, and this has to be exciting for you to be able to bring two. And do you need to go right now, by the way?
Yeah, do you need to go?
No, I think we're good. As long as, is it coming through onto the air really badly?
Well, that's okay. We don't mind. I just didn't know if you need to go take care of the baby.
No, I'm good. I'm giving him a bottle right now, trying to.
Okay,
this is
a perfect
driving?
Example. You're not driving yourself, right?
No, Joel is driving.
Okay, good.
My loving, supporting husband.
Well, I got to tell you this. We have Jessica on a regular basis, if you're a new listener, to do a mommy report on what it's like to be a professional rider and a mommy. We're getting the firsthand experience right now.
That's right, firsthand.
Now, does Joel, is your mom coming down for Rolex? Because I know she usually helps you out, too, with the baby when you're competing.
Yeah, she's actually en route right now from Canada with my groom, Amanda Jones.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we're going to all hook up in Kentucky. Actually,
good.
We have to drop Joel off at the airport in Knoxville on the way.
He's not staying with you?
He has to go home. There's a big cow sale in Quebec, and then he's flying back down on Friday.
Oh, good. Okay, so he is coming back.
Yes.
All right, good.
Did you say he's going to a big cow sale?
Yes.
He's a cow guy.
Okay, cow. I was just making sure I heard that right. That's the first time I've ever heard my husband's not going to be with me. He's at a cow sale. That makes more sense.
Yes. We have very interesting lives.
You certainly do, and I'll tell you what, I'm sure that Jacob has made it all that much more interesting.
He sure has.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, this is great. We're looking forward to seeing you on the weekend. Be prepared to have your floaters out because it is very wet at the horse park. There is water in places there's never been water before.
And we're
expecting storms all the way through the rest of this week. So we had 10 inches of rain in the last 4 days. Yeah, you know the sunken road is usually pretty dry? It's now a lake. It's a sunken lake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so bring your wellies.
I bought Jacob a floaty for the pool for his first birthday, so maybe I'll have to put that on Bigby and Tucker.
You're going to need it, and the head of the lake is now, the water in the head of the lake is actually up to the top of the bank.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't there a rule? We were discussing this. Is there a rule about how deep the maximum depth of the water in a water jump is supposed to be?
Yeah, there is. It used to be 18 inches, but I think it's down to 12 inches now.
Well, it's now about 4 feet. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I imagine they're going to have to be pumping a little of that out if you hope to not have to swim through the water jump. That'd be a new kind of obstacle in eventing is swimming.
Just to make it more of a triathlon.
Jessica's not finding this amusing for some reason. I don't know why.
You know what? In one of the first Olympic Games, the water was so deep that the horses had to swim across it. There's pictures of it. It was crazy.
it was
crazy.
Well, that'll happen again this weekend, I think. So good luck with that, Jessica.
Oh, no.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend and meeting Exponential and exploring, and good luck.
Thanks so much.
All right, we'll let you go take care of the baby now.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye, Jess.
Good luck.
Bye, thank you.
Well, obviously that was a little tough for her to talk when she's driving in the car with the horses and the baby screaming in the background.
Yeah, I do got to let you guys in on a little behind the scenes. Jennifer and I have been internet chatting while Jessica was on the line, and I said, you guys, I'll be right back. I got to go take my birth control pill. And she wrote... And Jennifer wrote back, you need to put a daily alarm on your iPhone that's the sound of a baby crying.
Oh,
that'll remind you. Oh my God, you can't even have a conversation. It's true. It's like if you're a mom and you're trying to talk to somebody, I mean, that's hard enough talking to somebody face-to-face, but I went to one of Chad's squadron functions. There's these, if you're the wife of a pilot in the squadron, there's these functions, like social events that they hold for the wives. And I don't typically go, but he's kind of part of a new squadron, so I felt the need that I need to go to represent him and his fighter squadron and blah, blah, blah. So I get there. And the first, I sit down, I know nobody, Glenn. I know nobody. Okay, and I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm like, yes, hi, I'm Jamie. Nice to meet you. And they're like, oh yeah, hi. So they go back to talking about what they were talking about, Glenn. And oh my gosh, I don't think I can say it on the radio. These women, in front of a complete stranger, they're all mothers. They all have babies. Started talking in front of me, a complete stranger, about the birth process. And how it tore up certain parts of their anatomy, and they described everything. Oh, I had a fourth degree tear. Oh, really? I had a third. I was like, ew, gross. And they're talking about this in front of a complete stranger. I mean, really? Do you really talk about how your, you know, baby came out of your hoo-ha really in front of total strangers?
Apparently so. Apparently so. And you're not ready to do that? You're not ready to have a baby in the car? We got the hormone horses of Chad driving to the Rolex and all that. You're not ready for that yet? What's wrong with you?
God, I keep waiting for that, like, moment of that surge of motherliness to envelop my ovaries and go, it's time to have a baby. You want a baby. You want a baby. But really, I really enjoy going out and feeding the horses, letting the chickens out, playing with the dogs, going for a ride, and having a complete conversation. Mothers, this is how they talk. So, Glenn, how's it going? Just answer.
Good. I'm doing fine.
Jeffrey, stop it. Stop it. Put that down. So how was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was great. I had the best weekend ever.
Sit down right now. You will not continue this. You will sit down right now. I will not come. I will come over there. So it was a good weekend. Did it rain?
Yeah, it rained a lot, actually. We had
I will turn this car around. I will turn it around. I will turn it around right now. You will not go to high school. You will not graduate. You're grounded. So what do you have coming up this next weekend?
Hold on, I'm rolling off my ball. You do that very well. I think you're ready, actually. I think you're prepared.
It's because it happens to me all the time. At the age of 33, being childless, you are on an island. You are alone on an island, Glenn. I can't even describe you. So.
Well, we had the same thing. And, you know, Jennifer's never kicked in, which is why we never had kids. Because, you know, it just never happened. So it might, you know, might not kick in for you either. It just may never happen. Although, you won't have any little fighter pilots around then.
I got one. That's all I can handle.
All right. That the results are final. This is for real now. The 2011 final results of badminton are 55-year-old Mark Todd riding Land Vision wins it. Oh, where's the applause? Let's give the applause for Mark Todd. I can't find
it. Well done. Mark Todd coming in first place in badminton. And for those who don't know, Mark Todd retired. He retired, but he's like Brett Favre. He came back. And, of course, what does he do? He wins badminton. And he's, what did you say, 52?
55 years old.
55. Mary King, who came in third, is like 50 or 49. So the older riders coming in strong. The highest placed American rider was Bruce Davison Jr., which is Buck, and he came in 21st place. So yeah, round of applause.
We got some clapping there. Hey, Piggy French came in second. She's also out of England. Sam Griffiths from Australia was in fourth place. Nicholas Lindback, who I don't know, from Sweden, is in fifth place. Carolyn Powell from New Zealand was representing there in sixth place. And you're right, I'm looking here to see how the Canadians did as well. Selena O'Hanlon had a tough time. She was in 55th place. So she had a little bit of a tough time. And I'm trying to look here. Holly Bennett was in, on Gin and Juice, was in 41st place. So Canadians, I think, had a tough ride over there, and the Americans, too, for that matter, had a tough ride.
Badminton is the hardest course in the world. I mean, it is definitely the most challenging, and it's sad to see so many American riders, or the few that did make it over there, didn't have that much success. But Buck coming in and representing, you know, a little bit, so finishing as the highest-placed American rider, I wonder if he gets an award for that. You know, they give awards for just about everything.
Yeah, that's true. William Fox Pitt in at 13th place on Cool Mountain. Wanted to bring that up also, because William will be heading over here
place.
With a horse or two. What's that?
He came in 15th place, too, with the Navigator.
Oh, that's true. And I think he has some horses at Rolex, too, I believe. So he'll be over here for that, too. And I wanted to say an apology to Susan because she upsets on Facebook. No fair, I got up at 8 o'clock to hear about Glenn's birthday. And I apologize for that, Susan. We will be talking about my birthday first thing tomorrow morning. We just could not. We didn't have time today to get our guest on. We wanted to have on to talk about it. So we'll be doing that tomorrow morning. I apologize for that. And just wanted to mention it.
I got to say, Katie just posted on Facebook talking about the baby thing. She said, "I am with you, Jamie. Though I am about one cute full picture away from breeding my mare."
That's a little different, though. You know, you can leave the baby outside. You don't have to bring him along in the car like Jesse had there. And Jesse, by the way, little Jacob is a great. He has a great disposition. She actually wears little Jacob in one of those. What are they called? Now, this is I never had kids, so I don't know what this is called. The little papoose thing you put on the front. What's that thing called? It has a name.
I think it's a papoose. I don't know.
Little papoose thing. Well, you'll see pictures of her coaching and doing clinics and stuff with the baby strapped to her front. And Jessie's about 4 foot. She's about your height, about 5 foot two, three. And so she's a little bitty thing with the baby strapped to her front doing lessons and stuff. So that baby's been around. He's a good kid.
When I was talking about her riding with David, these videos online came up. I think it was on Eventing Nation. And watching her lesson with Exploring and Exponential was inspiring. He had them going through some gymnastics. This is why I think he'll make a great U.S. coach. Because watching him coach those riders, it was just to learn something from a video of somebody watching something else. They did a 18-inch vertical. And they bounced a then like 4 foot vertical. It's just these sizes of these fences and the control. And it just looked to me like Jessica had the best control of any rider. These horses listened to every tiny little detail of her body. It was just very impressive. And I am so glad that we're stealing him away from the Canadians as our U.S. coach. Ha ha!
Well, it looks like we need some help internationally here, so I'm glad that's happening. Hey, a couple other things here today. I don't know if we can get off eventing at this rate. The other big thing we have coming up here, of course, is the Kentucky Derby. Jennifer and I, of course, we said we had the in-laws in this weekend, and we had bought the movie Secretariat, and it was the first chance we got to watch it again with the in-laws, and it was just as good the second time, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
I just got it too, and I haven't watched it yet, but I did finally watch Tangled.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my gosh, I want Maximus to be my horse. That
All right, tell us about Tangled. That's the animated movie, right?
Yes, you haven't seen it yet?
No, we haven't seen it yet. We remember when we were talking about movies a while back, everybody said we had to go see Tangled, and we never got there. So you give us your official review on Tangled.
Oh, this is so behind everybody. I'm sorry. If you haven't seen it, though, you've got to see it if you're a horse person, because the horse in that movie makes the movie. The horse and the lizard make the movie. I guess it's a chameleon or something. I don't know some real name for it. But anyway, the horse and the lizard absolutely make the movie. Without a doubt. You have got to go see it. The horse's name is Maximus, and he's almost part bloodhound. So, there's just a couple parts, Glenn, that I can imagine with you and Jennifer. And Jennifer goes and she says, "Hey, will you hold Beaker for a second?" And as soon as Jennifer turns her back, Beaker, like, hits you, and then you hit him back, and then Beaker hits you back, and then you hit him back harder, and then he hits you, and there's a scene like that in the movie that is great, and it's totally you and Beaker. You totally imagine it being the two of you. So, yes, you have to go out and get Tangled. It is, I mean, my husband watched it. My big, tough fighter pilot husband was laughing out loud. So it is definitely worth seeing. It was great. And so we just got Secretariat, too, so we're going to see that as well.
Well, you convinced us. We'll have to definitely see it now. I have to see it.
Yeah.
You convinced us. Well, you know, it's funny when we watch Secretariat again, because we were trying this time to, because we had seen it before, we were trying to be more critical or just watch for more of the details that we didn't see before, because they filmed some of that at Keeneland, but when I watched the first time, I couldn't figure out which scenes were filmed at Keeneland, and we were able to pick out the scenes this time. And, of course, the scene at the end where you actually see Chenery there in the audience, we passed right by that the first time. So this time
you
we actually...
You see her in there?
No, I missed it the first time when we were at the movies. So we were able to pick that out this time, too. So that was kind of fun. It was a good movie. Definitely.
It's a great movie.
Yep.
I gotta watch
that
again.
Other news stories from the weekend. I just thought there was one I have to talk about because it's a first again, and you'll never guess it was a rescue story. And unlike, you know, I thought we have covered a lot of rescue stories, horse rescue stories here on Horses in the Morning. I probably 100 of them by now, but we've never
had one.
Yeah,
this is your favorite.
I don't say it's my favorite, but it's a first. And the title is Inquisitive Horse Had a Lucky Escape After Getting His Head Trapped in a Plow. Apparently this horse decided to be curious, and they had this plow, you know, the kind of plows they plow your fields with. Well, somehow the horse got his head stuck in the plow, which is not a good thing because horses don't like to be stuck and they try and get out. Well, apparently this horse was trying to get out. Well, they called the fire department. The fire department came over and the horse was furiously trying to get his head out of the plow and was very distressed apparently. Well, the firefighters, now, okay, you know Jet. You know your horse Jet, who's thoroughbred horse. And
yes.
And can you imagine Jet getting his head stuck in something and then the firefighters had to cut a piece of the plow with a grinder to get the horse's head out?
Oh, my God.
Imagine Jet with a grinder going off right near his head trying to cut him out of a plow.
They make things called xylazine and dormosidan and acepromidine. They make those for a reason, people, and that is called sedation.
I don't know
how you'd get away with that.
It took 15 minutes of cutting to get this horse out of the plow. He suffered cuts to his face and neck, but was fine, and the vet was there, and he's going to be okay. But that was, of course, in England, by the way. Just wanted to mention that. That was one of the bizarre horse stories that we've had. We never had one get a head stuck in a plow.
That horse, after seeing the veterinarian, will go straight to the chiropractor. That would be a great idea.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we wrap up the show, I want to get and let everybody know a little bit about some of our Derby horses. First of all, Jacito, which was going to be a Derby contender, is out. He'd had some stone bruises, and they just couldn't quite get him back into shape after clearing all those up. So they're going to aim him now for Belmont. However, Pants on Fire, I love that name, by the way. Liar, liar, Pants on Fire. Pants on Fire is going to run in the Kentucky Derby. And you got to give a little whoop, whoop to the jockey because her name is Rosie Napravnik. Rosie, the chick jockey, who is Kentucky Derby bound on Pants on Fire. So you always got to love a little bit of the woman story, obviously, Mucho Macho Man with the female trainer and the female owner that we have talked to several times here on the show. So just another woman to pull for in a man's world.
Well, and you know, Rosie's only 23 years old. She rides down in Louisiana.
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 Right.
And she was a former eventer. She was she's the daughter of an eventing trainer, and her mother ran a boarding stable, and she got involved in horses that way. She was a pony clubber. She went with Somerset Pony Club, and she did well as a pony jumper champion. And so she was like a competition rider, but apparently she just couldn't get away from wanting to go fast. So she ended up doing some, I think at the age of 13, she was galloping horses. Get this, 13 years old, she was galloping horses for trainer Jonathan Shepherd. 13.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And her whole family, I mean, her mom is an event trainer and show jump trainer. Her dad is a farrier. Her older sister is a racehorse trainer, and her brother is a competitor as well. So that is definitely a horse family. And she said at age 7, after breezing her pony on one of the local tracks, first of all, at age 7, why are you breezing your pony? Come on, Mom. She told her mother that I want to ride in the Triple Crown races someday. And her mom said, I knew she was serious, and here she is. She's got a Derby contender. So good luck to Rosie, another horse to look for in the Kentucky Derby, which happens. It's always the first Saturday in May, and this coming month it's going to be on the 7th. So May 7th is the Kentucky Derby, so we're getting close.
Well, I just wanted to mention one other odd story I came up with, was the Turkmen of Turkmenistan. The president of Turkmenistan held a beauty contest for horses over the weekend, because apparently in that country they're very proud of their horses, because they actually have a bunch of a certain breed that we have highlighted here on the show and had a fun time talking about, and that's the Akeltekis.
It took you a second to remember how to pronounce it, didn't you?
I was thinking, how did we determine that we were supposed to say that? But apparently Akeltekis are very popular there, and he held a horse show sponsored by the president. Wouldn't that be cool if our president was into horses and actually held a horse show in the back lawn of the White House? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, except for it'd just be more taxpayers' dollars. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to like tear out all the brush and shrubbery, and then they'd put it all back. So you're right. So he held an Akeltekis. There are 3,000 Akeltekis horses. They think that over half the world's population of Akeltekis are in Turkmenistan. So that was just a little note, and we had a little picture there in our show notes of the president riding his Akeltekis horse around, holding what appears to be a bone or something in his hand. I'm not sure about that.
I'm afraid of anything that ends in Stan. So those are countries I will not be visiting. If I apologize to all of our Turkmenistan listeners right now, but congratulations on your horse show.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up here before another rainstorm hits Kentucky. Let me remind everybody of the schedule. Tomorrow I will be talking about my birthday for everybody that posted on Facebook. It's fine. I will be here tomorrow. And yes to Rick, yes, that's called in the business a teaser. That is correct. And in the media business, not the horse business. In the horse business, that's something else. But in the media business, that's called a teaser. And then we will be here Tuesday and Wednesday. Jamie flies out after the show on Wednesday, heads over here to Lexington in her five-hour flight, and then we will be live from Rolex Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. We'll be on the weekends this week, too, people, so please tune in. We'll, of course, be putting out a recorded show immediately after we're done, so you'll be able to listen to it later in the day if you can't listen live. And then the eventing radio show is going to be live from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings. And Chris will be giving you the wrap-up show, things like that, doing a little bit more serious coverage than Jamie and I are doing in the morning. And so we have 3 hours of coverage here at the Horse Radio Network each day of Rolex. Of course, Jennifer and I are going out tomorrow to set up, and we'll be in. If you want to come visit us, and I noticed that Aubrey said she's coming up from North Carolina. If you are coming into Rolex, please post on our Facebook page that you're going to be here. We would like to meet all of you. We will be set up in the old indoor arena, and we're going to be set up in one of the judges' boxes where they actually do the judging from for the shows that are held in the old indoor. That's where we'll be and where you can come. You can actually come watch us doing the show. We'll be at a place where you can watch us. So we would love to meet you. Please do stop by, and we'll throw you on the air, too. What the heck? So do stop by. We're going to have some hats there for our regular listeners to tell us who you are. So we'll have some hats while they last, and we'll sign them for you. So we hope that we get to see a bunch of our listeners, too. Please post on Facebook if you're going to come. And Aubrey, we're looking forward to meeting you. She has been our listener since, like, day one, I think.
Yay. Good, Aubrey. I can't wait to meet her, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to get packed. I have a riding lesson today. I'm trying to cram in as much training before I leave my horse for a week. So I'm going to go get packed and then get packed for Rolex. So I'm almost done with that whole experience, just packing. I don't know what to bring. I get a
walk. Everything. Pretty much, yeah, bring everything.
Exactly.
You're going to need it. Yeah. No, just bring everything. All right, people, that's it. If you want to hear our recorded version, you can do so at horsesinthemorning.com. Also, you will find a link to our live coverage for Rolex for both shows at horsesinthemorning.com as well. Those are up, and we have that pretty much ready to go. And we will be back again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody.